Hey everybody, it's Chris Aiken from Aftershocks reminding you that if you want to see the interviews, see the artists, and see Matt and I ramble on with the artists, subscribe to us on YouTube. Just go to the link bit.ly/AftershocksPod1, the number one. So bit.ly/AftershocksPod1. And you can subscribe and see all of our videos in this video cast.
Speaking of Magnolia Bayou, we got the guys right here coming in. Well, let's introduce them. We got guitarist Dylan Palmero and vocalist guitarist Andrew Fulton from Blues Rock Upstarts Magnolia Bayou. What's up, guys? Thanks for coming on tonight with us.
How's it going, guys? How are y'all?
Nice. Pretty good, man. What's the drink of choice there today? Is that just water or you got something spiked in there?
Just water.
Oh, okay.
Samuel Adams Boston.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Yeah.
Nice.
That's the original craft beer right there, Sam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let me go grab one here in a sec.
Nice. All right. Awesome, man. All right. Well, man, you guys, I mean, it looks like the pandemic really hasn't affected you guys at all. I mean, let's quickly run down your guys' activity as of late, man. You're getting ready to unleash the band's sophomore release, Strange Places, that comes out September 24th. Really good record, man. We were listening to that, me and Chris. We think it's great. I love the song Thieves that you guys released. It's one of the singles. Really dig that. You're currently set to do a live stream performance, too, I see, of the new album as well on October 8th, which is really cool. And you've also done a bunch of acoustic stuff via your social media. So you've got that lead foot. It's squarely on the gas pedal, but you guys have not let up and let this pandemic get in the way, which is great. I love to see that with bands, you know, because this is such a challenging time. But so how are you guys able through all this to stay positive, you know, as you are right now and remain focused, you know, especially as a, you know, fairly new band? You guys have been around for 3 years or so. So how do you guys really stay focused and positive with all this nonsense and negativity going on?
Well, we were very fortunate to actually have an album in the works during this whole process, man. And it's we've had a lot of roadblocks along the way. It's almost 2 years in the making now, really, if you go all the way back to the writing process. And so at the beginning of the year, we were a little frustrated with all the roadblocks. And then, of course, the pandemic started and we were a little bit worried. But it turned out to be a really good thing, man, even with no live shows or anything going on. You know, having an album and having a steady stream of material like singles and things like that to put out has really just allowed us to keep going, man. And it's, you know, every time we put out a release, people get excited and then we get excited. And I think we were very fortunate to actually be sitting on material to give to people during this whole process, man.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Or else I don't really know what we would have been doing.
We would have probably written a little more than we did now. It just probably wouldn't have been happy.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that always makes for good music too, though, right?
You know, exactly. Right or wrong way to do it, you know. I want to clarify really quick, too. Our live stream is on the 1st.
It's the 1st now. Okay.
No big deal. I just wanted to clarify that for all the viewers out there and stuff like that.
Okay. So everyone out there, the 1st. Don't listen to me. Well, cool, man. Well, it's not, you know, the other thing too with you guys, man, it's not every day we see rock bands making a big splash nationwide that come from Mississippi. You know, I mean, obviously plenty of famous, you know, musicians individually have come from there over the last, you know, even, I mean, decades. You can even go back, obviously, to the blues roots. I mean, everybody was from there. Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker, and go on and on. But you don't see necessarily many bands that have been able to break out and make it big domestically here in the States. The only ones I could think of, like on top of my head, are like Three Doors Down. I know it from there, and Bishop Gunn.
Right.
And of course, you have, I think most of the guys in Blind Melon were from Mississippi as well.
That's right. Shannon Hoon's from Louisiana.
Okay. But, everybody else was, essentially.
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, how does a band like you guys, how do you go about changing that trend? I mean, does it mean playing just more outside those southern region circuits, like in New Orleans and Atlanta, like going outside of those in order to expand your reach? I mean, is that something you guys are going to really look to do once live music comes back to the fold here?
Definitely, man. I mean, we play anywhere and everywhere we can. You know, when we started out 5 years ago, we primarily played the circuit on the Gulf Coast. And, you know, we're from Gulfport, but really the coast is one big city because you got Ocean Springs, you got Biloxi, you got Gulfport, you got Long Beach, you got Bay St. Louis. So the whole strip, man, it's like it's just miles and miles, and it's like one big city. So we would play like four nights a week on the bar circuit down here. Mm-hmm. And then about 3 years in, after recording our debut album, we started traveling all through Mississippi, eventually going in Louisiana, Alabama. We play in Tennessee a lot. And we've even traveled as far as Idaho, man. We got to Idaho.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's a damn. That place is a hidden gem in the United States, man. They love music. They love Southern rock. They really dig the whole Mississippi thing. Most people from Idaho have, I don't even think that most of them have never met people from Mississippi.
Right. A band full of us, you know, just pull in and it's like, kind of like, hey, y'all, what's up?
Yeah. Out there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Very so nice.
Anywhere we can, man. We've traveled up the East Coast. We've played in New Hampshire. Anywhere we can, man. We try to expand our reach and really push the whole Mississippi thing, because you're right. You don't see a lot of rock bands come out of Mississippi, and the last big band to really make it was Three Doors Down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're actually from Pascagoula, which is a neighboring city. It's about 40 minutes from here, and it's been a long time, man. So we just travel everywhere we can, and we really push this, what we call Mississippi rock and roll, which is a very blues-based and infused rock music. And we just try to push that message everywhere we go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Well, guys, you know, it's a good time for you guys. I mean, the pandemic blows ass, but other than the pandemic, it's a good time musically for you, because there's a lot of bands that are similar in style, although I'm not comparing you directly to them because I don't think you exactly match. But, you know, bands, obviously Dirty Honey or Greta Van Fleet or Joyous Wolf, or, you know,
they're top three that I throw out when you're asked, like, who are your peers that are killing it, you know, kind of a thing. And those are the three, man.
Right. Cool. Well, with that style of music and with it hitting, have you found that it's easier to gain an audience because there are more people than there have been in the last 5-10 years that are listening for that style of music? Or do you really find that you have to kind of say, yeah, well, that's them, but this is us and this is what we do?
Man, I think the conditions are perfect right now.
Yeah.
You know, I find that a lot of young people, you know, kids in high school are starting to listen to classic rock again. You know, my youngest sister, who's 7 years younger than me, she didn't, you know, she wasn't exposed to Led Zeppelin and stuff growing up. And now she's digging through these Led Zeppelin records. And, you know, this is my argument. Everyone that gives, you know, shit to Greta Van Fleet, you know, whether you love them or like them, our thing is kids are listening to Led Zeppelin again. And when they're listening to Led Zeppelin, then they're listening to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So yep.
I think the conditions, the water's perfect right now, man. People are starting to jump in. The temperature's just right. And especially a lot of young people, they're digging through these old blues rock records. And I think it's, you know, Dirty Honey's coming on the radio. And that I was on my way to work 2 days ago, and I decided to turn the radio on, and Dirty Honey came on. And I was like, this would have happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, one of the interesting things is that Dirty Honey is a true independent band like you guys are. Yeah. You know, there's not, you know, Atlantic Records or Elektra or whoever behind them on any level. They're a true independent.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you guys? Because it's actual stone cold proof that the music will play well on the radio without a program director being paid off, or have you seen that helps you guys get your music out there more?
So far, so good, man. Like you said, it's kind of paving the way and, you know, busting the doors down for bands like us, up and coming guys. Like, people are more apt to hearing independent rockers because of guys like Dirty Honey, who are, you know, able to do it themselves, you know? So it's humbling for sure, you know?
Sure, definitely. Yeah. Now I was reading through your press, so I'll take that with a grain of salt that it is the press release and not, you know, talking to you guys. But it talked a lot about how you guys are all kind of from very different musical backgrounds. A, is that true? And B, if that is true, how did you string it together to find the sound that ended up defining Magnolia Bayou?
So, actually, back in high school, the bass player Josh and I got together And the drummer we had at the time in jazz band later became the first drummer of Magnolia Bayou. Anyway, we would get together afternoons after jazz band and just literally jam some, you know, old blues standards and stuff like that, you know, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, stuff like that. And we were kind of funky, kind of bluesy, kind of we just played whatever we dug. Mm-hmm. And Drew and I were getting together around the time and hanging out, geeking out over pedals and guitars and everything under the sun.
I was in another band at the time.
And he was in another band at the time. And I said, you know, hey, man, actually, my dad had this idea. He was like, hey, man, that kid's from the Delta, right? And I was like, yeah. He was like, man, that boy's got to be singing some blues, you know, or whatever. And so we started out, you know, playing a couple Buddy Guy tunes and, you know, everything just kind of fell into place from there. But yeah, I'm a big classic rock, used to be a metal guy like crazy. Love funk rock. Cedric loves heavy metal. Josh is into funk and country rock. And you know, we kind of, you know, hit the grunge area as well. So, yeah. But it's all over, man.
Right. I think it's, yeah. 5 years ago when we started, like you said, we started out as a traditional blues band. We kind of had decided we're going to bring blues back, traditional, like 12 bar, nasty, grungy Delta blues. And we did that for a while, played a lot of blues covers, wrote a few blues tunes, almost kind of forced it. Yeah. And I think at some point, you know, but we've always been into so many different types of music. And I think at some point it was like, instead of trying to, we already had a very strong foundation because we had such a big repertoire of blues covers that we did. Right. That's how we built our chops, like in those Mississippi Delta juke joints. Yeah. And I think at some point it was like, let's stop trying to write blues. Let's just jam and let's just play whatever the hell comes out of us. Yep. And because we have such a diverse background, it just like the music that we started writing, it just became like, I can't really, you know, people started saying like, what is this? What is this style of music? And it's just like, it falls under this Southern rock umbrella, I guess you could say, but it's really just a big melting pot of everything with a very strong blues foundation, you know?
Absolutely. It's like a big old bowl of gumbo. You just start dumping stuff. Yeah. Dumping, carefully dumping, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Just spring it in.
Oh, awesome. So when you guys do, you know, your stuff online, your social media streams or your live streams or whatever, I mean, how do you go about approaching that? I mean, obviously these days do you try to trick yourself into thinking you've got a crowd around you, you've got, you know, an audience to listen to you so that you can sort of get as, you know, as much of a live feel as you can. I mean, how challenging is it right now for you guys just to kind of, I guess, perform for your audience, but at the same time, you're just kind of sitting by yourselves in a room.
Yeah.
I know it's got to be difficult.
It's been a little weird. At first it was a lot more weird than it was. Or then it became, I guess. But you know, Drew, we got in the habit of like putting two records on his piano and had them propped up to where people could see them, and then we would have a record of the day, so to speak. And then it ended up being two records, and you know, it was kind of like a walk-on song. And then it, you know, it's like, you know, you don't go on immediately. You don't turn on the phone and like see us immediately. It's like, you know, it kind of builds the hype like a live show, but it's
right.
You know, it's not a live show. It's the next best thing, you know? And, you know, it's really fun. I mean, you can close your eyes and pretend like you're just jamming with your buddies. And then you've got an internet full of people, you know, waiting to see it later on, you know, kind of a thing. So it's kind of a blessing, you know, too, for in that regard, like you may get a hold of some people that you probably wouldn't, you know, reach, as opposed to not doing these live streams and stuff like that. You know, people are sharing all the time, and it's just a different avenue that we start to garner fans in that regard. So,
sure.
Yeah, and I'd like to add too that when we do our live streams, we try to make it as interactive as possible, yes, which definitely helps. And the first time we did it, I mean, I won't lie, if I'm being completely honest, the first time we did it, I hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way I can do this for the next 6 months, but as time went on. You know, Dylan and I spent a lot of time in a room together working acoustically, which was something that we were not very used to. You know, you can kind of get blanketed in that wall of sound when you play with a band.
Sure.
So it forced us to look at ourselves as players. And we spent a lot of time rehearsing together. And then the more we did the live streams, we kind of made it fun. We would drink a little bit. We'd get on there. We all have our phones on us. In between each song, we're reading through the comments and we're calling people out and we're telling jokes. And we just try to make it as interactive as possible. And that makes up for the fact that there's not an actual audience in the room. You know, you actually feel like, and then you do it every Monday night, it starts to build in popularity, and then you have this core group of people that's just kind of like you're hanging out with this group of people every Monday night, and it just makes it a lot more fun when it's interactive like that.
Sure. It's pretty much becoming the new normal, you know?
The live stream thing, so, you know, you kind of get to know personalities outside of a live show, because sometimes, you know, you may get a chance to, like, shake this guy's hand and say, you know, hey, man, thanks so much for coming, you know, and you might get a story in or two or something like that. But here it's like a community where people are talking and, you know, you can go back and read stuff or you know, go back and comment or interact in any way, shape or form. And it's just kind of like a add on to what we do, you know, out there live, you know, kind of a thing. So,
yeah,
awesome. Pretty cool, you know.
Sure. Sure. No, definitely. You know, me and Chrissy, we were talking before you guys came on, and we were like really impressed with a lot of great musicians and artists you guys have played with so far. And the fact that you guys have only been together for 3 years is even more impressive. What has been your, so far with all the live shows you guys have played, what's the one that's really stuck out to you? One that you guys can sit together every night and just, you know, cheers and just talk about, like, damn, we play. Cause we, you know, I think we were ready when you played with Slash or, I mean, there's a whole bunch of guys you played with, you know, I mean, who's been the number one? I mean, you played with Bishop Gunn. Those guys are great.
Well, actually, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Bishop Gunn, who's actually unfortunately not together anymore, they're drunk. Produced the new album.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
We were very close to those guys. They're like older brothers for us. And we spent a great deal of time on the road with them. We've played with a lot of big names, Blackstone Cherry, Whiskey Myers. I mean, a lot of great names. But if I had to pinpoint a show that just really stuck out, it would be back in October, we played Tipitina's with Bishop Gunn. It was one of the last shows we played with them. And Tipitina's is like a legendary club in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's one of those places that's been there forever. And it's kind of like, I guess, what's the place in L.A.? The Whiskey or something. Whiskey, it's like the big club in Louisiana on the Southern Circuit. Everyone's played. And we played to a packed out. And I think the show was about sold out and it was just slammed. And it was the height of the Bishop Gunn Magnolia shows. Cause we did a lot of stuff together and it was like I don't want to say it was a competition, but we pushed each other every night. It was like, let's perform our asses off so that they have to work harder. And we were always pushing each other like that. And after 2 years, it just kind of seemed like we had built ourselves. It was
a powerball thing.
You could almost cut through the energy in the room with a knife, I guess you could say.
That was monumental for sure. Yeah. The guys that we opened up for, I guess if that was a double-sided question, my favorite opening slot was opening up for Wet Willie in Mobile, Alabama. Fairhope, Alabama, which is just outside of Mobile. But that was a blessing, man. That was so much fun.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Nice.
Well, guys, listening to the new album versus the previous release, the one thing that jumped out at me was that it really seems on the new one like you guys like kind of honed in and kind of trim the fat. It seemed like the first album had a lot of 6 and 5, 6, 7 minute songs. Yeah. The new one I don't think has any. I think they're all like right in that 3-4 minute. Was that a purpose move, or did you feel that was something you guys needed to do, or is it just how it came out?
It wasn't intentional. I think we just kind of grew as songwriters, and just like you said, we unintentionally learned to trim the fat. I mean, our producer had a lot to do with it. Our producer was real savvy about, you know, going, get rid of this. That's not necessary. That's too long. I mean, there was some jam sections like in The Robber that was just way too long. And he was like, just cut it down. You know, if you want to do that live, that's one thing. You can play an 8 minute song live, because we're kind of like a jam band by nature.
Sure.
But it just, I guess with maturing and learning more about songwriting, you just unintentionally trim the fat. And then when your producer gets a hold of it too, he'll go, don't worry about that. Get rid of that. Do it live. Don't do it on the record. So,
right.
You know.
Sure. Yeah. It really forces us to think in terms of definitely maturing and kind of honing in on solos being X amount instead of whatever feels good. Because, we did that a lot on the first record. We just kind of jammed, and it was fun. I mean, that was our first record. You know, it's you learn a lot, and then, you know, there's more to grow between one and two. That's why, you know, sophomore albums can sometimes be better for bands and stuff like that. You just kind of hone in and trim the fat and learn what works, learn what might work, and then you can throw a couple – you know, surprises in there and see how it goes and just learn as you go.
Sure. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Well, guys, the new release is called Strange Place. When is it out exactly?
September 24th.
All right. So what is that? Like 2 weeks?
Yep. Yeah, man. Yeah. It's pre-ordered.
Pre-order?
Now. MagnoliaBayou.com.
There we go. Very cool. Yep. It's right
on. You can pre-order the record.
All right, guys. Well, guys, thanks so much for checking in with us, man. We will definitely direct people toward Magnolia Bayou, the new album, Strange Place. And good luck with it, man. I hope it does well for you both.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. For having us. Appreciate you guys.
Right. Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Aftershocks. For more episodes, go to our website at www.aftershockspodcast.com. Visit us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for more news and information on the podcast, and be sure to subscribe, listen to, and review all episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcast platforms. For your music listening pleasure, visit our website or go to www.shockwavesradio.com. For all comments and questions, please email us at info@aftershockspodcast.com.